Hey, it's good to be here tonight. Amen. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter number 17. As you're turning there, I'm going to say something real quick. And I'm not saying this to be mean. I don't want this to come across. But let's just say there's a major announcement tonight that comes after church. I mean, it's a huge announcement. And it's going to hit all the news media. Of course, some of the news media, they might get it wrong, and the other ones will get it right. That'll spill all over into Facebook, Instagram, all other sorts of media that you can think of. And in that caption, it'll say, Jesus is coming back next Sunday at 10 a.m. Wouldn't that be great? Well, Jeff thinks it would be great. Jesus is coming back next Sunday at 10 a.m. Wouldn't that be great? Amen. It would be great, right? So now that we have that announcement out of the way, and we know, hypothetically, but it could be a true statement, because no one knows the day or the hour Christ is coming back. But let's just say it's 10 o'clock next Sunday morning. Are we still going to hunker down and let the media and the government dictate our lives? Or are we going to say, hey, I have an appointment today. I must need be in church because Christ is coming for his church today. That's how we ought to approach it. Amen? He got me started. So, just thought I'd throw that out there. And we are. We're very soon to a Christ return. And we shouldn't let anything keep us away from serving him. And have these been some challenging times? Very challenging. And not just for the churches, but it's been challenging for people at work and kids that are in school. That's who I feel sorry for. I really do. I feel sorry for the ones that are in school. I said that this morning. I feel sorry for the high school seniors and the college seniors that have worked so hard to get to this point. Now they can't even have open houses to where people can come in and celebrate what they've accomplished. And I feel for those people. But you know what? Regardless, Christ is soon to come. And this will just be in our memory banks. And I'm looking forward to that day. But until then, we're still here. Isaac and Lindsay, they're still planning a wedding. Yep. And It's happening. You want to know if Isaac's ever listening, just talk about a wedding, he'll respond. But they don't want nothing getting away. I don't think they'll allow a disease to get them and from saying their vows. Which, he's shaking his head. No, don't shake too loud. I can hear it. But we're thankful that life still goes on. We're in the book of Acts, chapter number 17. Please pray for me this week. I've been asked to preach at a graduation commencement Sunday, Wednesday. It's over in Bellevue, and I'm looking forward to it, but at the same time, it's kind of a scary thing to do those types of things, to give the charge to a couple seniors that are going out into this world. And to be honest with you, the message that I have tonight, I'm going to be doing it Wednesday night as well, because it just seems so fitting to do it. And it's amazing how God works those things out. So before we begin, let's have a word of prayer. Let's ask God to speak to our hearts tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity that you've given us. Thank you for, Lord, giving us this place to worship. There have been many men and some women that were involved in building this these grounds that we are on tonight. A lot of blood, sweat, and tears went into this place so that we can come and worship you, and we're grateful for them. God, I pray tonight as we have entered your house, Lord, I pray that you would help us to be attentive to your word tonight. God, I pray that you'd use me once again. Give me the words that you'd want me to say. Don't let them be my words. God, you know me and how I mess things up. So, God, I pray that you just use me tonight. And, Lord, we pray for Q and Virginia, Lord, with the surgeries that are coming up in their lives. We pray that you just see them through this. And we ask you these things in your name. Amen. The book of Acts chapter 17, I'm really going to hone in on one verse. But before I get there, and it's going to be verse number 6. As I was growing up, I've really enjoyed dreaming. Has anybody ever enjoyed dreaming? And I'm not talking while I'm sleeping. I'm talking while I'm awake. I'm talking about thinking about things of the future. In the sense of I wanted to do things to change the world. And so in my mind, I would always have big dreams. One of the dreams that I've, as a young kid, and it goes in with the sermon tonight. A lot of folks don't know this, but I really wanted to be a builder when I was a young person. Mom and Dad, as we were young kids, I remember one specific Christmas, we were able to get a set of Tinker Toys. And you folks that are my age and a little bit older, you know what Tinker Toys are. And they're sticks with holes in them, circles with holes in them, boxes with holes in them, all given to us by the Flintstones. And I remember getting those things, and we would want to build something extravagant out of that. Legos came along as well. I've never really been involved with the Legos. Those are more for nerds. Sorry, London, if you're watching tonight. But I was never really into Legos, but I really liked the Tinker Toys because it allowed me to see the car that I saw in my mind that I can put into action. So I wanted to build. I remember one time Chris and I, first couple years of marriage, and she asked me, what did you ever want to do? I said, I wanted to build. She goes, why? I said, because I love to build. But I am not as skilled or as qualified as Jeff and Gary are. Matter of fact, if I have something done in my house or I need something done, I'll either call Jeff or give me some ideas. And I had one this weekend that I had a great idea, and I called him and told him about it, and then he shot it down, knowing that the work that was going to go in, because I thought it was more simple than that. And it's going to be more work than what I anticipated. Needless to say, that didn't happen this weekend, but that's okay. I don't have those type of skills, but I've always wanted to do something like that. The other thing that I've always wanted to do to help change the world, because as I was thought about building, I was like, man, I can build this big, extravagant building that everybody is attracted to, and people would want to come in and take a look at it, and I would be popular off of those things. That's how my mind operated back when I was a young person. The other thing that I wanted to do was, later on in my teen years, I wanted to be a lawyer. I really did. And then the school process came into play. I was like, man, I got to spend 12 years in high school. I'm barely making it now. Mom's passing all my tests for me, and Mom's not going to be with me in college. And that's going to be a little bit more difficult to achieve. But I've always been intrigued with lawyers and how their minds work and how they're able to do the research that they need to do to get to the places that where they're at. And so I've always thought in my mind, well, if I was able to go and accomplish this, and I'll be this big-time lawyer, to where maybe one day I will be able to solve one of the world's greatest cases to ever exist. And I would solve that, and I would change the world in that time. Well, that has not happened, obviously. The other dream that I've had many dreams, and not to be Martin Luther King, but I've had a lot of dreams in my life. But the other dream that I've always wanted to be, I wanted to be a doctor. I've always thought it was pretty special of people going through the training and all that's entailed there to be a help to people, to give them solutions in their lives for a sickness that they've had come upon them, and you're able to help them to overcome that obstacle in life. Maybe to be able to change science in a sense, to change the world. And obviously, that didn't happen in my life. The fourth one, it's really no big deal. It has nothing to do with this. I always wanted to be a firefighter. I always thought that was a cool thing to maybe one day to be able to put out a fire when someone's in need and to be able to change somebody's life. Chris's brother, he's a firefighter in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and he's put out some fires, but he's also seen some very hard things in his life of doing those things. I can't imagine, knowing what he has done, prying the baby's hands out of a mother's, the baby's body out of a mother's hands during that process. I could imagine those things. It takes special people to do those things. But I've had those types of dreams to change the world. And we all fall in that category. So now we come to the book of Acts, chapter number 17, and we're still involved in the life of Paul. Paul has been on a missionary journey now for some time. Now he's in his second missionary journey with Silas. We know that in his first missionary with Barnabas came to an end, and they went their separate ways. They're still in a ministry business, but they're not with Paul at this point in time. And so now Paul, it seems to think about this for a second. Imagine being a missionary, or imagine being a preacher or a missionary, and every time you go someplace, you preach the truth, and then you run out of town because you have folks that are wanting to come after you, either to kill you or to put you in prison. With that being said, would you still be true to the gospel? Would you still want to preach his word? Thankfully, Paul and Barnabas and Silas, Peter and John, they did those things. And we have great examples in the Word of God for us to live by. But this one verse that I want to look at tonight is in verse number 6. And I'm not going to read the rest of this chapter. I'm just going to read this verse here as we catch up with them. It says, "And when they had found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also." These that have turned the world upside down. Let me ask you a question tonight. How, as you as a believer, how can you turn the world upside down? Think about the life of Paul and Silas, Barnabas, Peter, John, James. We can go through the whole list. Think about what they did in their ministry while they're here upon the earth. The first thing that I told you that I wanted to do as I was growing up, I wanted to be a builder. And as I look back at my life, I was never able to accomplish that in a sense to where I got paid for that, I was recognized for that, and I was able to do great things in the workforce as being a builder or being an architect, whatever would come with that. But here, as we've gone through these men's lives these past couple months, one thing that I want us to see here tonight is these men were in the building process of people. They were wanting to build their lives for Jesus Christ. Why was that? Because they knew what Christ had done for them. They knew the life that they lived before their salvation wasn't glorifying to their Father, wasn't glorifying to God. And so Christ came in and Christ changed their destination. Christ changed their life and Christ changed their attitude. And so because of this great change that took place in their life, their main focus at this point in time was to build other believers up in God's Word. Their other great focus in the time in life was to build non-believers. Well, how do they do that? By preaching the gospel so that they can hear the truth, so that they can get saved, and they can begin building upon their lives. You know what building does? It's an investment. You have to invest great time into building. A lot of you folks weren't around when this auditorium was put up. Some of you folks were, but a lot of you folks weren't. I can barely remember when that first auditorium was put up. I can remember some of the things that took place. I can remember Brother Wilson grabbing me from the top floor up there and putting me down to the bottom floor because there was a pile of dirt. I remember those things. I remember there being a great big pile of dirt out in the back, and I believe it might have been Jeff that built some tunnels in there, and we were able to go through those tunnels. I remember that building process. I remember the older gentleman would come on Saturdays on their days off and begin to invest some time. And I remember when this began to be built, I was a little bit older. I was around a lot more. I was able to understand some things, and I was able to help a lot, whether it be pulling out some nails or maybe hammering some nails. If you ever want to see what that looks like, you go up to our old auditorium. There's pictures of those things. And I love pictures. It helps me to reflect upon the past. I can still see men standing around with hammers in their hands, looking down at the I wanted to be a builder. And I don't even know what's there. Wood. Looking at the wood. I can remember in my mind, I still see this day, Tom Hansen sitting on a crane, lifting up the rafters for this building here. I remember that very vividly. One thing that I remember is our pastor spending so much time over here. We were fortunate because he lived next door. We lived next door, and he was able to put a lot of time in here. Building is an investment. It's something that you believe in. You see a product, you see something, and you want to invest that time so that you can develop what is going to take place. And you might start with just a little piece of wood, but that little piece of wood is going to end up into something very magnificent. And now, because we have talked about the past, and now we have learned that men and women have invested their time for this building so that you and I can sit in here tonight and worship God. That is building for the future. Paul and Silas, Barnabas, Peter, James, and John, they were interested in building the lives of individuals. You and I, let's take this a step further. We should be in a building process. You want to turn the world upside down? Build. There's something I've seen take place in the last couple years with the youth department. And that's not to brag upon the youth leader. It's not to do any of those things. It's not to brag upon the youth in the class either. But what I've noticed is an investment into those kids, building those kids' lives so that they will serve Jesus when we're long and gone from this world. And it's not so that it can serve them tomorrow, so that they can serve them today. I was sitting there thinking yesterday, as the kids were at Martha's house doing some planting work for her, and so that she can enjoy those things. They invested some time. And one of the things that I've really come to appreciate is, I don't know if Jeff has realized this, but it's not all about just having activities with playing basketball, football, or sitting around eating pizza, tacos, and hot dogs. But it's about working. Showing these kids the importance of building. He's done that in the last 2 weekends. Out and back, taking time, investing in those kids' lives, building a Christ-like foundation for them so that when it comes time for them, they know what to do. You have the privilege tonight to turn the world upside down by building somebody's life. My life has been formed because of people taking time to build me up, to invest their time into me. These have turned the world upside down. The other area that we can turn the world upside down is to be an advocate. I talked about being a lawyer earlier as a young person. I just always thought that was fantastic to do. I would sit many countless hours watching Perry Mason. I liked Perry Mason. He never lost when I watched him. Matlock. The only thing I didn't like about Matlock, I didn't know if he changed his suit or not. Wore the same thing. So, that's okay. The Lone Ranger did the same thing. But I always wanted to be a lawyer. Why? Because I wanted to be an advocate for somebody. You know, you and I can turn the world upside down by being an advocate for Jesus Christ. You know, I've never seen in Scripture where Jesus argued. He just stated the truth. He was an advocate for his Father. You and I can bring the truth to people. And how do we bring the truth to people? Simply by being an advocate for him. You don't have to sit there and argue your case. You don't have to sit there and try to prove people wrong. Just show them the truth. Well, what's the truth? Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's all we got to show them. That's all we have to advocate is the truth. We don't have to try to build up false information, grab false facts, and try to put them into the equation. All we have to do is advocate Christ by giving them the truth. That's what you and I can do. That's how we can turn the world upside down. The third thing that I mentioned tonight as I was talking earlier, I always thought it'd be kind of cool to be a doctor. To this day, I'll sit there and I'll watch surgeries. I find that very fascinating. The only one that I can really watch that they show is, and I know some of you might cringe at this, but I like Dr. Pimple Popper. I like the fact that she squeezes people and pus comes out. But that's not enough for me, so I have to always watch my 600-pound life. And it's not my 600-pound life, it's somebody else's. And they will show these surgeries, and I always find it fascinating. To where now they can go inside somebody's body with a small tool. You realize back in December 18th of last year, they went inside my body with a camera. On one side of my groin and the other side of my groin, they went in with the tools to fix my heart. That's fascinating. They were able to do something for me that I couldn't even do for myself because my body was in a place where it could not kick out of AFib. I was constantly in AFib all the time. Could not get out of it. And what do? They changed my life. To me, they turned my world upside down. You know, you and I can turn the world upside down too. You look at the life of Paul. We hear Saul a couple weeks ago that he was able to heal some people. We read of Peter doing the same thing. We cannot heal people physically. Yeah, we see it on television. I agree with the pastor. We haven't seen the faith healers since COVID's come out. But yeah, we've seen these faith healer conferences where people line up upon the altar, the stage. Matter of fact, the churches that they're at, they're more stages and not altars. And they'll line up and they'll thump someone as hard as they can in the head. Yeah, if you hit me in the head, sure, I'm going to forget about my back pain. Without a doubt. That's just a fact of life. But you know something that we can do to turn this world upside down? And it's something called spiritual healing. What do you mean by that? You know, there are so many people that are dead spiritually. And I'm not just talking about unbelievers, but I'm talking about believers as well that are spiritually dead. You and I, it goes along with the same thing as an advocate. You and I can change somebody's life spiritually by being that voice of reasoning with them. To the lost, you can sit there and say, hey, there is a hell and there is a heaven. If you don't confess of your sins, if you don't accept and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you're going to go to hell. And you can offer them hope. You can tell them, hey, if you were to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're going to enter into heaven when you die or when the rapture comes. And you know what's taking place? There has been a spiritual healing in your life. And that didn't come through you. That came through Jesus Christ working in you. Not only can we do that for the lost, but think about the saved. Go through things spiritually that they don't bring to the surface. There are some who doubt God. I've doubted God in my life. And I know I'm not the only one in here. But there is someone that has come along my way and helped me out spiritually, being a doctor of the Bible for me, showing me what I shouldn't believe and what I should believe. Hey, if you're feeling depressed, get in God's Word, read it. He'll bring you out of that depression. Hey, if you're feeling this and that, God will be a help to you. I'm not talking about a name it and claim it, but I'm talking about God genuinely helping you because you called upon Him. We can help somebody spiritually. My life was turned upside down by somebody spiritually years ago on the 25th of April of 1986. And it wasn't because I grew up in a pastor's home, and it wasn't because my dad being my pastor. It was because of a particular night that he decided to show a movie that spoke to my heart and that turned my world upside down. Because no longer did I have to doubt my salvation, I was able to say I'm saved today because of the truth that was exposed to me that night. And that healed me spiritually. Have there been wounds along the way? Without a doubt. Have I fallen away at times? Without a doubt. But there's always been somebody who has come to my side wanting to help me spiritually. And it's changed my life. And I know I can go all around this room and there will be people saying and testifying of the same thing. Yeah, if it wasn't for so-and-so. I remember messages that Brother Bear would speak. I remember messages that Brother Al Wells would speak. I remember messages that Jim White would speak. A lot of you folks don't even know who Jim White is. But those guys have had a tremendous influence on my life that turned my world upside down because they've helped me so much spiritually. And now I can sit back and take a look at the men who are presently in my life who have changed my life spiritually. And one I consider a good friend, and that's Brother Ziner. The other one I would put at the top of the list, and that is our pastor. Always wanting to help us spiritually. That's the best medicine that we can give to anybody. And that is the best medicine that we can receive. Out of all those things that I wanted to be, little did I know that God would be letting me do those things in people's lives to this day. I never got to be the builder out in the world to where I would be looked upon. Look at that great building that Chad Springer built. No, God has different ideas and God's got different plans. But now I'm able to be a builder in somebody's life. I'm able to be an advocate for somebody that's lost. I'm able to be an advocate for somebody who's saved. And I'm able to help people out spiritually. We all fall in that category. Little did I know that God was going to use those three things in my life as I got older. You know, we can be a blessing to somebody today by just doing that. Build them up. Be an advocate for somebody. There's a guy at work. I'm going to miss him tremendously. He's put in his resignation. And he's leaving at the end of this week. And he's been an influence on my life. And I've been an influence in his life as well. But there's one thing that he's always done for me that's lifted me up. And now I'm able to do back to him to lift him up. And there are simple words. Whenever he came up to me and he saw that I was down, he looked me in the eye, and he said, "Hey, Chad Springer?" I said, "Yes." And I knew it was coming. He says, "Jesus loves you." That built me up. He was advocating from the Father, letting me know that he loves me, and he helped me spiritually. Man, what a great, great testimony to be in somebody's life in those three ways. You want to change the world? You want to turn the world upside down? Those are some good tools to have in your life to do that for somebody. Let's have a word of prayer tonight, and we will be dismissed. Our Heavenly Father, we Thank you for this day that you've given us. We thank you for your word that you've given us. Lord, none of us will ever know until we get to heaven how we've changed. Through you, you've allowed us to be a help in changing their lives. God, I pray tonight, even though that we might not see it in some, Lord, help us to never give up. Help us to continue to wanting to be that builder. Help us to continue wanting to be that advocate for you and that spiritual blessing to somebody along the way. God, we thank you for what you've done for us. We love you only because you have first loved us. You've taught us what love is. We would have no other way of knowing what love is without you. And we thank you for that. Again, Lord, bless us as we leave from here. Bring us back safely this coming Wednesday. And we ask it in your name. Amen.